home for NASCAR. We're Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owasi Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio, it's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
And Jason Hildebrand.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, it's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owasi Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. Here's what's coming up on today's show. We're going to give you our thoughts on the good, the bad, and yes, the ugly of the 2017 NASCAR season thus far.
I'll be the good.
Better be. Also, you'll have a chance to tweet your questions for our know-it-alls in the studio today. Later in the show, we'll be discussing the upcoming throwback race at Darlington. And as always, power rankings, picks to win. We got all that and much, much more on today's show, Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owasi Chase Air Systems on 101.3
The Buzz. That's the first word you've said that wasn't screaming loud.
That's true. I toned it down some. All right, so that ugly mug that you just heard the voice coming from is Scott Webb. Sitting across from me, special guest in studio today, our NASCAR historian, Arnold Tarpley, sitting in for Jason, who's got to work. I mean, they're making him work. What's the deal with
What's up with that?
I thought he didn't do anything.
I never knew Jason to work.
That's true. Know? Well, he's, I mean, computer work. I mean, that's all you got to do is type some stuff and kind of go from there. So, interesting week for sure. First of all, thoughts and prayers go out to all the people affected by Hurricane, is it Harvey?
Yes, Harvey. Way to stay on top of news. I mean, it's only been raining in Texas for 5 days,
and now it's raining here, all the way up from Chattanooga. So anyway, Hurricane Harvey, people in Houston, I know that's tough. That's 50 inches of rain. That's a ton. It's almost like if you got a NASCAR race in the summertime. Sometimes you get all that rain up there. So hopefully everybody's getting taken care of down there. And everybody needs to stay safe up here Thursday and Friday. Looks like we're going to get some good rain.
That's what they're forecasting, and I hope it clears out here early on Friday so we can have a good football Friday night.
Football Friday night should be a nice and wet one. That'll be for the big uglies in the offensive line, Scott Webb.
Why'd you direct that question to me?
Because you used to coach football.
I thought you were talking about because I'm a big ugly.
Well, that too, but still, I mean,
I don't know what you're talking about.
It could be a little football talk.
Hey, listen, it was always more fun to practice, play whenever in the mud. So yeah. I'm all in. Those were fun.
You didn't care. All right, so we didn't have a race this past week. Well, we did have a race. We had an Xfinity race this past weekend. Jeremy Clements, met him down at Bristol this past 2 weeks ago.
Exciting finish in that race.
Man, young guy, too. Yeah. And you know the crazy thing about that is he said that that car they built in 2008, that is a family-funded team that is racing in Xfinity Series.
And you knew if he got to the back bumper of
dude was going around.
Yeah, somebody was in trouble.
That was kind of funny.
That was a good one, and I like races like that. You know, that's what you look for in NASCAR is let's go for the win no matter what.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I mean, once you get somebody like that close to victory, he's going to do everything he can.
Yeah, I think it set an Xfinity Series record for the longest duration to win your first race. Obviously, if you never win one, you never win one. But I think it was like 250 races or something like that before he finally won his first race. So congratulations to And one of my favorite road course. I love watching them go around that place. It's a lot of fun.
Had some rooster tails going out from behind the backs, too, out there. So it was really nice to see the rain tires on and everything else. So maybe, the Monster Energy Series could get on that with some good rain tires on a road course one time. That would be a blast. All right, let's get into it. The good, the bad, the ugly. When you don't have a race the week before, you always try to come up with things you can talk about. And I figure we're really three-fourths of the way through the season, probably a little further than that. But we would kind of break down what we thought has gone good in NASCAR, what we thought's kind of gone, this is Scott Webb, that's it.
And then I need a sound effect for that.
You do. And then what's been really ugly for NASCAR. So I'll kind of throw this out to you guys since you guys are the experts. Arnold, you've been around this sport much longer. Not saying you're old, but much longer than us.
When are the experts going to get here? I got to make sure I got mics. I got to make sure the mics work.
That's it. So let's just say, Arnold, what's been your good this year for NASCAR?
I think the competition has been good. There's been situations where individual teams and drivers have walked away with races almost at times. But overall, if you look at the total body of work, there's good racing going on out there. Sometimes not at the front of the pack, but there's always some good activity that you can watch.
What would you attribute that to, I guess, would be my thing?
I don't know. It's just like a lot of other sports. You see, there's a balance in the sport. Not a lot of different. Obviously, once you get away from the major funded teams, there's a difference. But there's 15, 20 cars, that if they won, you wouldn't go, that's surprising. We have 13 different winners this year, guys. 13 different winners with still two races to go. So somebody is going to make it in on points. But there was a point in time where we were concerned that if you didn't win, you weren't going to get in the playoffs. That is not going to happen. But we see the balance, what's the word I'm looking for here? That's not what I'm looking for. But the sport has there's no dominant team. I mean, we've seen, obviously, the Toyotas have a good run. We've seen good effort all year long from Martin Truex Jr.
Parity.
That's the word I'm looking for. Thanks. But, it's been great to see the competition week in and week out. I think stage racing, if you were going to ask me what I think is good, I think stage racing has made the race more exciting. We don't get a lot of long green flag runs now in some of these tracks that traditionally, even with the stage racing, some of those tracks have struggled to put on a great show. But I love the stage racing. I think it's brought some competition within the main, some smaller competition within the main competition. These points are going to be huge, and I don't know that we know the impact of them yet until we actually start accumulating points in the playoffs and we see going forward. But stage racing and the competition has been the good for me.
One of the things I had for the good was Toyota in general, and I guess you could probably put that, on the back of Martin Truex Jr., but you have had some consistency or better consistency from the Gibbs guys. And that didn't – if you would have asked me that the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, I probably wouldn't have said that. But how they've bounced back – I mean, they took a 2018 car and started running it some last year and then, have really jumped on it this year. So, Arnold, I think, when you've got a new car like that, you're able to come out and with Martin Truex Jr., with Kyle Busch, with those guys, you're able to dominate. I think they've done really well this year.
They have, and when you were talking about early in the season, where was the Toyotas? I said, they've got a new car. They've got to figure out all the little nuances to make that car perform. They're starting to figure them out. Look at what you watch Chevrolet at the start of next season when they bring out the new Camaro. They're going to go through the same learning process, and about halfway through the season, you're going to see that Camaro start taking off and them start performing very much better.
It's funny how that works, and last year it was almost the exact opposite, where Toyota was dominant at the beginning of the year, and then we got to this point last year, and we're talking about Chevy. The Penske cars were running well, so we see ebbs and flow in that all the time. Obviously, Arnold's right, spot on with the car change. It made a big difference, and it took them a while to figure it out, but week in and week out now, we see that all you got to do is go back and look 2 weeks ago at Bristol, you got Busch, you got Jones, you got Matt Kenseth, you got Denny Hamlin, you got Martin Truex Jr. didn't even have that, a normal Martin Truex Jr. week, which is win the stage and lead a bunch of laps. So they've definitely got it figured out and got it pointed in the right direction. And what a perfect time of the year for that to happen if you're a Toyota fan.
One of the other good, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but I think NASCAR, it was kind of a pivotal year for them because you're trying to put in new drivers. You're putting in the drivers of the future. I put this as a good because of the new influx of good drivers, good young drivers, the Chase Elliotts, the Ryan Blaneys. I think Bubba Wallace is going to be one of those guys. But you're bringing young guys in next year even more with William Byron. I think that NASCAR has done a good job as of now? Now, you look at it next year and how they market them, how well they do, and if they can kind of take over, that's going to be something that still needs to be seen. But as of now, I've got that as a good.
I've got it as a good because I've been through this transition a few times of generations of drivers. And Chase Elliott coming in with his lineage. Dale Earnhardt Jr., when he first come in, you know, everybody say, well, the senior's kid's in here. That's going to be good. He's been the face of NASCAR for a long time. It's going to be interesting to see who takes that mantle and wins that favorite driver next year. That's probably one competition that nobody really thinks that much about that I'm going to find really
interesting. You think Junior's selling his fans on eBay? He's a big eBay
yeah.
guy. So I wonder if he's selling his fans.
Also a big Uber guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was doing some complaining this week about his Uber rating. So, I think the good the drivers, the quality of young drivers we have is an absolute positive for the sport. As we start to see, you know, I think Carl Edwards was the tip of the iceberg. You're going to see Junior's retiring next year. Kenseth's 45 years old. These are names that for the last 10, 15 years – we've seen dominance for Tony Stewart's, you know, yeah. out of it now. So we've seen dominance for these type of drivers, and now we're starting to see that, you know, that downward slide. We're starting to see those guys move on into other things, and we're starting to see what we needed to see this year. And I think what we have seen is we've seen an uptick in performance from Ryan Blaney. We know he's capable of winning races. He can drive a fast race car. We've seen what Kyle Larson can do in his third year. We've seen Chase Elliott's done everything but win races. We've got tons of great young new drivers. Eric Jones is going to win. Wait till you see what happens with Byron and some of the guys that are going to be at Hendrick once they get their stuff figured out. That could be a super team in a couple years. So I think the sport's in a great place. There's a transition point, and it's going to be on the backs of people that have been around the sport for a while, the Bushes, Jimmy Johnson. They're going to shoulder some of that, you know, that mantle of the aged veteran, I guess, if you will. Yeah. But even when you look at Keselowski and Logano and those guys are not that old, in their mid-20s, but they've been around for so long, and they're kind of the grizzled veterans now. So I think NASCAR's in a good spot. Obviously, you know, there's still some issues, and we'll get to those in just a few minutes. But in terms of the driving and the quality of driving, I do agree that we've seen some great young driving this year.
Cool. Let's get to the bad. There's a couple things on here, and it's kind of, you know, when you're in between good and ugly, you know, it's kind of hard to pick. But
is that a world you live in? I'm just asking for a friend.
Yeah, you were. All right, so I'm not going to answer that.
You just skipped right over that.
Yeah, I did.
Motors right on by.
I put the Reliance still of clean air. That's something that I probably could have put in the ugly category, but I think NASCAR's tried to fix this. It's still not fixed. These mile-and-a-half tracks, it's still so much reliance on clean air.
It's something that's going to be very difficult to fix because of the way the cars are designed these days and the idea that they're not up off the ground. You go back to some of the old cars that we was talking about, and I saw a picture of a car today that just threw back memories. Ned Jarrett's number 11 car, 1962 Chevrolet, chrome bumpers, and it was 6 inches off the ground. The cars today are built to be right down on the ground, seal off, and make the air stay out from under them. And as long as you got that aerodynamic component, you're never going to completely get rid of it. You can do some things such as make the car a little bit bulkier, do some changes with the spoilers, reduce those, which will help the situation. But I heard somebody talk about another generation of cars coming, you know, that they're going to have to look at eventually to even try to address that issue some more.
Yeah, this has been an ongoing problem. It's something that I think NASCAR is fully aware of. And it's certain tracks, obviously, it becomes, more prevalent than...
Words today.
Yeah, words to me are just not clicking. I need to go home and take a nap or something.
The parody and
the parody and the prevalence. But, you know, I they're aware of it, you know. But it's an issue. It is an issue. It's an issue at certain tracks, in particular the mile and a half tracks. Can they find a way to kind of make that happen or do something better? I mean, all you had to go back is go back and look at the some of the old Talladega races, and Daytona races, they've shown on TV the last couple weeks during rainouts and stuff, and see how high those cars were off the ground, and they didn't suck up to the ground like this generation car does. So it's an issue, and it's mainly been an issue up front, because I think the racing has been very good behind that front runner. We've seen a lot of passing and all that. It's still hard to pass the leader.
Yeah.
We've seen more of it, I think. You know, some of the things that they've done have helped, but we still have a ways to go. It's still an issue.
Arnold, real quick, you're bad.
Do what?
You're bad. Not your bad.
Not your bad. Not bad. I think say me bad. What have I done that's bad so far tonight? My bad. Probably some of the issues still with the cars not meeting templates. Questions about whether the laser system is working as accurately as it ought to be, and why cars coming to the track and finding so many errors when they're supposed to be working off the same template to have the same information.
Yeah, and I watched that closely at Bristol when I was there, and it is kind of a process. They need to be able to streamline that a little better, so it would be good. What you got, Webb?
Yeah, I that was actually. Hate when I go last because he's totally still. That, I guess that's been one of my biggest issues this year. We've seen a number of good race cars. I can think of, you know, Larson at Kentucky. Jimmy Johnson has missed, I think, was it California? Now, granted, every time Johnson starts in the back of the field, he ends up going to the front and winning. But you know, some of those issues have been kind of. Ongoing this year. We've seen a lot of struggles with that.
Are you thinking about a P word again?
No, I had to punt P word.
You did it.
Because he totally stole what I thought was bad. We're seeing some struggles with particular drivers this year, and that, you know, when you talk about bad, and I don't want to put it in the ugly category, but you look at a Joey Logano, a guy that is always in the thick of things, could have easily won a championship last year, and, you know, if it wasn't for the accident there at the end, so we could be talking about a defending champion, and the struggles they have. You know, they were fast and doing some things, and we've seen. Keselowski have good runs. You know, a lot of Keselowski's luck has just been on track bad luck. But that team overall, the 22 team, has been a struggle. So I'll lump him into my bad category since you guys are just going to steal all my other topics.
Maybe you can go first when we come back from a break. All right, when we come back, we will talk about the ugly. We'll also have some news and notes, a couple of big stories that happened this week, and your Monster Energy Series point standings. We'll be back right after this.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to the Babbling Instant Oil Change Studios. It's Racing Talk Radio presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Arnold Tarpley sitting in for Jason Hildebrand. Scott Webb spinning the tunes. Can't beat that one. I can tell you that. I could listen to that the whole time.
And you got to watch the Alex Hayden version on Twitter.
Oh, I'm sure it's good. He didn't pair
with lights and everything. It was awesome.
Blinking all over the place. I mean,
yeah, man.
The dude needs to go on the road.
He needs a real job.
Do a show. All right, so let's get to the ugly. Before we do that, make sure you can go on to Twitter, at Racing Talk Radio. You can tweet us a question. We have two experts in here, or so-called experts. Well, let's just say it's Scott and Arnold.
Arnold's here.
They'll answer your questions.
At least Arnold can talk today.
Yeah, and I'm sure Bossman Sean Whitfield will answer them via text as he texts us during the show from time to time. I think just trying to keep tabs on us to make sure we're doing and saying the right thing.
Oh, absolutely. I would. Would you not keep tabs on us if you were the boss?
That and bragging about the fact he's going to be on some TV show talking or something like that.
Is he on TV every week? I mean, what's the big deal?
I don't know how he does that when he's got a face for radio.
What's the big deal? Now, there is a face for radio there.
So he's got that. All right, so I've got the ugly as being NASCAR's reluctance to change the schedule. And what I mean by that is you're going to throw Indy in as the next race or the last race before the playoffs next year. And then you're still keeping Chicagoland in there, and you still go to Pocono twice. So that's my ugly. Scott Webb.
Well, I could complain about the schedule. I think I try to rant on that two or three times a year because the schedule, I think, the schedule really is killing the sport. A, there's too many races. B, we go to some of these tracks too many times. I love Michigan. One Michigan's plenty. Pocono, if we go to Pocono, it's great. If we don't go to Pocono, it's great. I don't, you know, but going twice, now there's some tracks, you know, we love Bristol. Loved it. I think the two races at Bristol, we don't have enough super speedway, so I wouldn't take away from that. But obviously it's the schedule. How many mile and a halfs are there? Do we need to go to Texas twice? We're going to Vegas twice now and taking one away from New Hampshire. I didn't know if we didn't need to go to either one of those tracks twice. Yeah. So, I've always said that I've always been a proponent.
Proponent. That was a P word.
Yes, it was. Of trying to get back to some of the old school tracks. I know some of them may not be in the shapes and situations, but I've always thought that they should be in some. I would love to see them go to Iowa. You know, go to Gateway and do some things there. Go. They're going to add road courses, but the road course they're going to add is at Charlotte. Well, what does that look like? I don't even know if you're going to add a road course, go to a real road course like Road America or something like that. So there's some things obviously they could do with the schedule. From a team standpoint or a positioning standpoint, obviously the biggest disappointment of the year has to be Junior, and what you would think that with the amount of money and time and effort and energy put into that program, they would be having a better year. But for some reason, they have just not found their way. And I don't know if it's part of that may be him ready to retire and knowing that it's the end. Part of it may be I think he's always, when he has when him and the crew chief have a good, solid, competent relationship, we see performance. When there's issues or he struggles, it tends to be that relationship and them just not being able to get the car set up correctly. That could be part of the problem. It could be that he's just ready to retire and do something different. You know, there could be he's married now. There's more things going on in his life. But there has been some issues with that team, and it's not been pretty. I mean, where is he sitting in points right now?
As I quit, 22nd
in points. That's just not a champion. Now, granted, we've talked about the depth of NASCAR, but this is really not one of those situations where you would expect a team with the caliber of driver and the amount of resources available to them that they would be sitting in 22nd place.
Arnold, you're ugly.
Gee, thanks.
Hey, you'll be here
all week. I do have a face made for radio. There's no two ways about it. My ugly, probably some Junior's not running too well. Of course, next year he's going to be going for the Mayo. You know that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, they have not run as well as you would expected them to, even coming off an injury. The racetracks, we need to throw some new things in there. It's the schedule is what it is right now. I'd like to see some of the more old school, get away from so many of the mile and a half, get back to the miles, the shorter than miles, the smaller venues, get some of that going back again. And the other thing, I'm going to echo something that I've heard from some fans along the line, is let's settle on the rules for a year or two and not change them so much.
What rules?
That's crazy talk, Arnold.
I know, I'm crazy. That's no two ways about it. But leave the chase alone for a couple of years. Leave some of the other things alone for a few years. Kind of let everything settle down. Let's see how everything's working and then we can maybe look at some more stuff in a few years.
That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Always nice to talk about that. And what would be really neat is to kind of revisit that at the end of the year, because I'm sure some of that stuff will change. Maybe not Junior winning, but some of it may change. So let's get to the Monster Energy Series point standings. That's brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors. Listen, you always, this is one of the biggest purchases you make in your life. That's your house. That's the place you're going to call your home. You want somebody you can trust, you can depend on to make sure they're going to walk with you through that process. That is Stephanie Painter. She's got houses on the market right now that she can show you. She also can help you sell your house. Give her a call, 473-9545, or you can call her cell, 650-9429. Folks, she'll call you back. Make sure you give her a call. That's Stephanie Painter at Cry Like. Scott Webb, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup point standings. Following the Bass Pro Shop NRA night race 2 weeks ago, Martin Truex Jr. still sits on top. He has a 101-point lead over Kyle Busch. Busch and Kyle Larson, 5 points Rowdy. Only 5 points separate them. Remember, it looks like Truex is going to win the regular season championship and get that big bonus. They also get bonus points, playoff points, for second place. So those are there's some big bonus points on the line there. Larson just 5 points back. Kevin Harvick sitting in fourth. Denny Hamlin, Brad Keselowski, Chase Elliott, Matt Kenseth, Jamie McMurray, Clint Bowyer, Jimmy Johnson, Ryan Blaney, Kurt Busch, Joey Logano, Ryan Newman, Eric Jones. Logano's going to have a win here in the last couple weeks. Three spots available as of right now to get in with points. But if Bowyer or Elliott or McMurray or Kenseth or any of those guys win a race, it's going to take one of those spots away. So there's a lot of things to look and watch out for this week at Darlington. And that is your NASCAR Monster Energy NASCAR Cup point standings.
NASCAR.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing.
Whatever here. It is, it's brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Krylock. Make sure you give her a call if you want to sell your house or buy a house. 473-9545, or you can call or sell 650-9429. When we come back, we'll have news and notes around the world of NASCAR. Of course, that will consist of some Chase Elliott news you might want to tune in for. Also, we'll hear what some drivers think about Darlington, as we've got Throwback Weekend coming this weekend, which is always fun. That's why we have our historian here, who I'm sure has some interesting facts on the age of Darlington. We'll talk about all that and more when we come back.
We'll be back before Danica Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus.
Hello and welcome back to the fastest hour in radio. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for joining us, making us a part of your day. It's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle. Arnold Tarpley sitting in for Jason Hildebrand. Scott Webb.
I'm going to go home and work on vocabulary. So if anybody's got any vocabulary words out there,
all the
or some dictation.
Just work on P words.
P words.
That's what you need.
I need more than just that.
Somebody.
By the way, that was the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup point standings.
That was good. You almost still kind of messed it up.
I almost did. I had to think about it. Well, that's what kind of day it's been.
I tell you what, if you needed insurance to make sure that voice of yours stayed sounding as crisp and as good as it does, you could go to Esther Suggs Allstate Agency. She can take good care of that. She's my agent, and she takes care of my home and auto. She can do the same thing for you. Make sure you go online to Esther Suggs Allstate Insurance. She's really good. You always want your insurance person. Insurance and mortgage, right? You want to be able to buy a home, and you can get it insured. So with Stephanie and Esther, you definitely can get it taken care of. All right, so news and notes. We had some big news. Chase Elliott come out, yesterday, and made the announcement that, and I really like this, they're switching from the 24 to the 9 car. We know Bill Elliott drove the 9 car for a long time. Did switch to the 11 later on, went back to the 9 at Dodge with Ray Evraham. But I think it's a cool move, kind of the first time that it's been done within an organization, I think, Arnold, since probably Darrell Waltrip switched from the 11 to the 17 with Hendrick.
Yeah, that was an event then. This is an event now. And I'm like you. I love the move because I think Chase can sit in the seat and use the 9 to his advantage. William Byron, he's going to be in the 24 next year. He doesn't have anything that I know of that's really mitigating why he'd want to, you know, care about what number they run as far as
that. As long as he's got a ride, that's obviously. Yeah. Put me in the 812 car and I'd be out there ready to run laps.
Show me the Benjamins. That's what he's getting. So, yeah, I mean, and I think it's pretty cool. One thing, you know, I grew up a Bill Elliott fan, so seeing that 9 car go around the track with another Elliott, it'd only be even better if they had Coors as a sponsor, right, to kind of have the car look like that. But cool throwback this weekend that he's doing for his dad, one of his first cars that he's running, so we'll make sure we check on that. In other news, I really thought when Blaney was going to the third Penske car, Scott, and you had Menard going to the 21, that the Wood brothers would use that as a way to gain more sponsorship dollars by getting Menards, but they announced today that Menards is actually going to be the sponsor, the primary sponsor of the Blaney car, the third car at Penske. And so that means Menard, for the first time in a long time, will not have his parents as his sponsor.
Well, you know, that, but I mean, you can see how all those things kind of lined up, you know.
Yeah.
We need a sponsor for a third car here at Penske. We want to take this driver. I mean, it all kind of makes sense when you say that Menard would, that the sponsorship would follow Blaney to that third car team, and that the Wood brothers would work on that. You know, the partnerships between, especially between those two organizations are very tight, so it makes absolute perfect sense. It'll be interesting to see. You know, Menard is going to be in good stuff. I mean, we've seen what Ryan Blaney's been able to do, so it's going to be interesting to see if he can have similar. You know, maybe he's not quite as talented as Ryan Blaney, but Paul Menard can drive. If he can have the same kind of success that Blaney had in that car, and can that transition for Blaney move into that 12 car? Can they continue to build upon what they've done this year and really take the next step? He's in my power rankings again this week. This is a guy that is got that green arrow pointing up. I like what they're doing. Can they find a way to translate that and move that to Penske next year?
And then on top of that, I saw today that Motorcraft is coming back with Wood Brothers as a sponsor this coming year too. So that's going to be some good sponsorships, good money there.
Say, in a sport that needs it. I mean, you've got to have the days of giving one sponsor are rare. I mean, there's very few out there that have that one sponsor that they keep on the car all year long. You've got to kind of mix and match and do some things, and we're seeing a lot more of that. So great for the Motorcraft to come back on the 21 car. I mean, we've all seen that car. When you think of that car, you think of Motorcraft on the hood.
Exactly.
But when you look back at it, it shows you how a driver like Blaney could really make a difference in a team like the Wood Brothers, who you thought might get a little bit of a kick in the backside when Trevor Bayne won the Daytona 500, but didn't really kind of catch fire and keep it where now they've got.
I mean, part of that was funding, though. I mean, they were still only running part-time back when Bayne was in that car. So it really only did they become a full-time ride is when all that stuff kind of aligned behind Ryan Blaney. It's because of the talent of the kid that a lot of those factors kind of pointed them and got them back into full-time NASCAR running, and we've seen the success they've had the last couple of years.
It definitely is good. It's good to see that 21 car out there running well as well, and we'll see some throwbacks to like the old 21. I don't know if the 21's ever really changed or the Wood Brothers have changed their paint scheme much. Maybe with Elliott Sadler they went more red than white, but they've always had that dominant white with the red and the blue. And this week at Darlington, it's always a good time of year when you have the throwback. This started a couple years ago. We're going to see Ned Jarrett in the booth with Ken Squire, which will always be fun. But a lot of throwbacks. Darlington's a great place to go. We only go there one time a year, so it helps you to look forward to it.
Yeah, the 21 car be running a Kyle Petty color scheme from when he ran for the Wood Brothers.
No, that's not going to win.
Going to have two cars running Dale Earnhardt schemes. Austin Dillon and Ryan Newman both going to be running the Wrangler yellow and blue cars that look like the Dale Earnhardt scheme. The Rusty
Wallace. One of my favorite cars.
Yeah, Brad Keselowski is going to be running the black and gold car like Rusty Wallace running, baby. Which the Miller line.
Yeah. Genuine draft.
The genuine draft car, yeah. That was a fine ride. You know, this race has really become one of my favorites. You know, this was a track that when they had two races was struggling with attendance, really struggling to kind of gain some of the popularity it had in the past. They went to one race. You know, there for a while there was even talk they may lose, completely get bumped off the schedule. But they've kind of given themselves a niche. It's at a great time of the year, a night race, and at that track. It has really kind of elevated itself. We've all known how important the Southern 500 is in the course of NASCAR history, but it has really seen a rebirth the last couple of years. And you know, and it's this throwback is a big part of it. You know, even the guys in the booth will be dressed up and usually they're in 70s clothes and doing something goofy. So it'll be a fun time. Sunday night will be a lot of fun. Perfect time to have it.
And they did ask Kyle Busch, my guy, Rowdy, about, you know, what makes NASCAR history so important to celebrate and why is it important to remember some of the past heroes, and here's what he said.
Well, I think there's a lot of big names out there that mean a lot to the sport and mean a lot more to other people, like the Richard Petty and the Earnhardt Sr. and the David Pearsons and all those names. There are a ton of other names that people don't mention a whole lot of the times, like the Ned Jarretts or the Joe Weatherlys or the you know, the Flock or whoever else that has built this sport also that sometimes get missed. But to me, I think everybody's had their piece. You know, I think everybody's had their piece of history in this business, and they all have been here for one particular reason or another. And that, you know, it's great that this sport has had that many different drivers and that many different winners and that few of different champions that makes the sport so dynamic.
I wonder if he was talking about a flock of birds there when he said
the or a flock of seagulls. Yeah. They had a good song.
They did. You should spin that on the coming out of the next break.
I can make that happen, buddy.
You'll have to find that. So, you know, it is history, and that's the great thing about it is NASCAR is full of history. Sean, you know, on his show, I don't like talking about it much, but Valvoline Racing Radio last Thursday, you know, had an important piece about the tracks and that NASCAR raced that are not even there anymore in Chattanooga. And you think about history in NASCAR, and to be able to go back and remember that about what they do at Darlington is really good. But, you know, the one thing you have to think about, Arnold, and sometimes this gets in the way of it, is we talk about all the throwbacks, but really just how challenging of a track Darlington is.
Darlington was the first speedway termed a super speedway.
Right.
It was the longest one. Actually, when they built it, they was building a mile and a quarter track, and it's called Harold's Folly. You know, that.
Wow.
Nobody expected it to ever do anything.
Nobody except you would know that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
But
I think you just made that up.
But, you know, it's odd-shaped. It's an egg-shaped track because they had to build it around the Minnow Pond. That's been documented time and time again. Just about every time they go there, they talk about that. But it's a tough track to get around. And everybody talks about the Darlington Stripe today, which basically means the car got in the wall and got stripes all down the side of it because they just couldn't handle the turn, got in too hot or something. But the origination of the Darlington Stripe was the fact that that was the fastest way around the track when they had the Armco barriers rather than the concrete. And the drivers found that if they could slide up and just ride up against that guardrail and let their rear quarter panels just touch it just enough, they could go around the track faster. So that was the hot drivers were getting the Darlington Stripe from that.
I guess that is what makes it so difficult when you've got to go tap the wall to get up there and go fast. I know on Twitter and on Facebook they've had Cale Yarborough's in-car camera from probably the early or late 70s, you know, driving around, and he talks about that, how coming across and hitting the wall. And I don't know what Webb's doing over there, but maybe that was the flock of seagulls. But, you know,
they had to get them warmed up, man.
They did talk about the difficult racetrack. They asked Dale Earnhardt Jr., you know, what it's like racing at Darlington.
You know, Darlington is a difficult racetrack. It's very, very challenging, one of the more challenging racetracks for drivers. A lot of these tracks we go to are wide. They got more grip, and they're pretty easy going, pretty cut and dried as far as how you run the track and what groove you're in. And you can make mistakes and get away with them. Here you can't. You got to run right on the wall. To be fast and competitive, you really are out of control the entire lap. And you can't, you don't have room for mistakes. You slip the right rear, you're going to hit the fence. You're going to hit the fence in the race a lot. And hopefully the car can take it, and hopefully it doesn't hurt the performance of the car. And it's a, you know, it's a love-hate relationship. You know, you fight the track 1 minute and you love it the next. And one day you hate it, and the next day you're in love with it. And it's just, it's such a challenge. And it's not always going to be fun, but you earn everything out here that you get. When if you can win here, it would be an incredible feeling of satisfaction, because you feel like, as a driver, like you play such a role in that, you know, in getting around this racetrack. A lot of times you go to racetracks and you really rely on that car to be particularly good, and you do too here, but the driver is so important. A really smart, good, competitive driver is such a big deal here, and it's much more important here than at most racetracks.
I'll tell you what, you almost need a Clint Bowyer interview after him just to get your, you know, head out of
it. It sounded like he was the first part of the interview that he was broadcasting live from the Gulf Coast with all the wind and stuff that was going on.
The flock of seagulls.
Yeah.
And then
we'll be hearing the flock of seagulls here in a few minutes.
He did make us
worry about that.
He did make us look really good, and Arnold, you know, and tapping the wall and everything to go fast because he said that. And then he went into relationship advice, it seemed like. So it was kind of all over the place.
Maybe that's his. That's what his next career path.
Maybe that's why he's getting out of NASCAR. Yeah.
Dr. Dale
doesn't really know how to drive that. So, all right, when we come back, we'll have our power rankings. I'm sure you're going to hear a flock of seagulls. We'll have that, and then we'll have our picks to win right after this.
Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Live from the Babylon Instant Oil Change Studios, Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
I believe we're making history right now. First time Flock of Spiegels has played on a NASCAR show.
And you said Spiegels.
Did I say Spiegels?
Yes, you did. No.
Yeah. It's entirely possible that I said Spiegels.
You did say, I think, Spiegels. I don't know. It sounded like it. With your vocabulary today, I'm sure that's the way it came across.
Pronunciation. Good Lord.
Or pronunciation. Speaking of that, my wife, I'm giving food orders on the radio. Can you do that?
Hey, you and me both, buddy.
You know, so
join the club on that one.
I'm hungry. So I'd say good hello to my good friend Robert. I call him my favorite Puerto Rican. Probably one of the best drummers in the world, and I say one of the best drummers in the world. But he's listening. So now we have five listeners, Scott. So
super pumped about
that. Did take one listener out of the listener realm and brought him in the studio today. So we had four, you know, coming into the day, but we went back to five now, thanks to Robert. All right, so we've got Darlington coming up this weekend. Going to have the Xfinity race on Saturday night. You're pretty excited, Scott, about the truck race. 3 o'clock on Sunday. We'll be at the Canadian Motorsports Park. I mean, you said last year when they did this, that's when they were kind of wrecking out of turn.
Wrecking come out of the last turn and had each other pinned against the fence and then fought in the pits. I mean, what else? And that's
sounds like a typical Saturday night.
That sounds like Saturday night racing to me, baby.
So it's good. So that'll be at 3 o'clock on. Actually, let's see, 2:30.
FS1 will be it'll be trucks.
Yeah, you sure that wouldn't run down to Cleveland Speedway?
No, I'm saying, listen, there may have been some fisticuffs down there too.
I've witnessed several of those down there. So Saturday you'll have the time 3:30 will be the Xfinity Series race at Darlington. They'll start the TV coverage at 3 o'clock, and then Sunday. You don't have anything to do on Monday, so you can stay up and watch this. 6 o'clock coverage begins at 5:30 on NBCSN. You will have the Bojangles Southern 500. Love the fact they keep the Southern in that as the throwback too, so it makes it really nice. All right, let's get to the power rankings brought to you by Whitfield Media Group. It's great, and thank our sponsor, Whitfield Media Group, for sponsoring the Power Rankings.
What a great organization.
Yeah. I hope so. We're finding out. It's really good. I mean, yeah. We sound a little more professional anyway. Or maybe our commercials do.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going with the 18, my guy, Kyle Busch. I got the 42 second. The 78 is in third. I did put the 21 in there, Ryan Blaney, in fourth. And then I don't know if this is – did I put Eric Jones in there?
This is exactly what you sent me because I had to retype it this afternoon.
Okay, then I'm going with Eric Jones in the fifth position.
I mean, he did have a good week, and he's been running terrific lately. So I don't – you know, other than having Truex third, I mean, I think your top five is pretty solid.
There might be a little bit of fandom involved in
the there's 18. Not a little bit of fandom in your power rankings.
Putting the
18. There's a lot. There's a lot of fandom in there.
All right, so let's see. Hildebrand sent me his power rankings, and he went with Cole Witt, David Reagan.
Is that Cole Witt the when he's in a truck, or Cole Witt?
I think it's in the – no, it's Cole Witt in the Monster Energy series.
Oh.
So he did go with David Reagan, too. Michael McDowell was third. I thought that was kind of a
– The 95 car's had some good runs lately, though.
He has. And then he went with Danica. He couldn't take her out of the top five. And then, let's see, I think he went with Corey LaJoie as his fifth-place guy. So good power rankings there with Jason Hildebrand. Sorry he couldn't make it today. That's what you get, buddy. All right. Let's go Arnold Tarpley.
Oh, I'm going to have a little fun with this. I'm going to take Martin Truex Jr. as my first-place car.
How's that fun? That's obvious.
Yeah, I mean,
for some people. Kyle Larson is my second-place car. I'm going to take Kevin Harvick in fourth place.
Oh, he's
still a pretty strong dude.
Junior fans, don't come after Arnold.
Yeah. And I'm going to take Eric Jones in the fourth place, and I'll put Kyle Busch in the fifth place.
What? Ooh. That's a as he's looking at little Kyle Busch sitting right next to the counter next to Jamie.
You need to move the 18 up about three spots, Arnold, and take Harvick out. You know, get Jones out of there.
Hey, these are my top five, not yours.
That's what I'm saying. Brought to you by Winfield Media Group. Scott Webb.
Mine are the same as last week. I've got Truex, Busch, Larson. I think those three are cut above everybody else this year. I've got Blaney. I like the Blaney in fourth there. I really like what he's doing. I think he'll be a real factor this week. And then I threw Kenseth in there. I think this is a team that had their backs against the wall the last 6-8 weeks. And it just seems like all of a sudden that car's come alive, and there's a lot of top fives, a lot of strong runs out of that car. Still looking to solidify a spot in the playoffs, and a win can do that. So a little prognostication there as I
that'd be prognostication. Here you go with another P word again that you can't get right, Webb. Let's work on it.
No, we're not going to work on it. I'm going to go home and go to bed.
All right, so. Let's see, we don't condone gambling, but if you were going to have a little fun at work or whatever, best driver averages at Darlington would be Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Jimmy Johnson, Martin Truex Jr., Ryan Newman, and Brad Keselowski. I'm surprised they don't have, the 41 car back when, who was that won in the 41 car? He's racing now. Remember you guys used to make fun of me because I put him in there.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, you guys used to make fun of me on the power rankings when I put him in.
Well, I mean, that's a weekly occurrence. You got to be more specific than that.
How many weeks have you been doing this?
Yeah, true.
Power rankings. At least I could say that power rankings.
Yeah, Dale Earnhardt Jr. actually is eighth in the driver active driver.
He's had some good runs. I mean, they've had some. I mean, I remember back in the last year with Letarte. And they were right up near the front that entire race that night. So he's had some good runs there. I'm telling you, it's the whole not meshing with Ives thing is it's real. What regardless of what they say on Twitter and social media, I think they're just not the same team.
What's real is the winner that I picked this week. And finally, after everybody's picked them every week, you know, and it kind of took it for me. And I would go with drivers that I thought ran well, but everybody else would go with a popular driver. And the guy that's winning a lot, I'm going with Martin Truex Jr., the 78 car. Listen, finish it out. Finish it, buddy. If he wins, I think he probably locks it up. I'm sure he does.
Well, he's got a 101-point lead. I think, you know, 60 is the max points you can have. So I think it's. I don't know that he's 100% officially locked it up, but he ain't nobody catching him.
And he will win this weekend and definitely put that in the record books as the regular season champion. Arnold Tarpley.
I'm going to go with a first-time winner, the 24 of Chase Elliott.
What? Ooh, I like it.
You remember, you know, a couple years ago in Xfinity, he had that comeback. I mean, I think he was like in fifth or sixth place, passed a bunch of cars and got up there and won. So definitely has won there. Jason went with Jeffrey Earnhardt. He went with he's tired of being on the Dale Earnhardt Jr. bandwagon, went with Jeffrey Earnhardt. That would be a huge upset and really
That would be big news next week on the show.
Definitely throw a stick in the spoke of some of these drivers. All right, who you got, Scott Webb?
Well, I tooted his horn earlier when going through the power rankings. I'm going to take Matt Kenseth. I think this is the team that seems to be getting their mojo going. He's still without a ride, doesn't have a ride for next year. But I like what they're doing, and that 20 team seems to be peaking at the right time. If they make it into the playoffs, they could be a real factor. So I'm going to take Matt Kenseth.
I think that 77 probably has a little nameplate for him at the top of the car.
He might.
That would be one of the places I think he could go. All right, storylines coming out of Darlington. I want to, even though my pick doesn't reflect that, but I want to say that we have a driver win that's going to put a little pressure on a couple of people next week at Richmond.
Even though you didn't pick a driver that's going to put any pressure on anybody.
Well, I mean,
correct. I mean, I'm just trying to clarify, just for clarification's sake. Well, that would be correct.
Clarification's sake, yes. What about you, Mr. Tarpley?
Oh, I think it's just going to be a great race. Everybody's going to.
That's not a storyline, Tarpley. Let's go.
My storyline is going to be how close the finish is.
Oh, so you're going back to you're relating back to the 2004 Kurt Busch, Ricky Craven, you know,
exactly.
From 3-1. All right, Mr. Webb.
Storylines coming out of Darlington. I think we will have an announcement of where Kenseth is going to be next week. That's just a gut feeling. So that's going to be a major story coming out. We'll start to hear some rumors and some buzz this week, and there'll be an official announcement before we do this show next week. How
you
about
sound
that?
Like you have some inside knowledge.
I have none. I totally made all that up. So we'll see.
It just sounds good.
It did sound good. I sounded truthful in those statements, so I'm going to stick behind.
I thought you might have been calling Mr. Alex Hayden or something like that, getting a little bit of, you know, because you are a Periscope fan of his.
I am a Periscope fan. He can rock it out.
With the music, so. All right, great show, Arnold. Thanks, as always, for coming in, the NASCAR historian of Racing Talk Radio. Make sure you tune in next week as we'll be breaking down the Darlington race, also talking about going into the final race before the playoffs, and that would be Richmond the following week. So really will be an interesting show, interesting topics, and always we'll have a little pressure on some of the drivers. So we'll talk about that next week. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems. Join Jamie Collins Scott Webb and Jason Hildebrand every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.